Hi guys, I'm Oscar Piastri, BWT Alpine F1 team's reserve driver for this year, and I'm here to do an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. The first question we have got from Clydog, coming from Australia, which Aussie circuit would you want to drive a Formula One car around, even just for a joyride? Think the answer has to be Bathurst. Don't know how well that would go, but I think driving any car around Bathurst is definitely on the bucket list, so we'll go with Bathurst. From Walrus42, did you have to learn to drive upside down in Australia? If so, was it difficult? No, I did not have to learn to drive upside down. It's actually the right way because it's the same as the UK on the left-hand side of the road. So that was all fine. I don't actually have an Australian driving license, so that gets me in a little bit of trouble when I come back here. But anyway, I didn't have to drive upside down. From T-Man, hi Oscar. A lot of people, including drivers, have superstitions such as pre-race rituals. Do you have any? If so, what are they? I wouldn't say I have any superstitions. I do always like to get in the car from the left, but that's purely just because I find it more comfortable to do that. That's pretty much it. I always do my seatbelts up before I put my gloves on, because otherwise it's also difficult. But in terms of superstitions, I don't really have any, I would say. I don't listen to music or anything, so pretty boring as a superstitious person. From Ford GT Strong, would you rather fight one Fernando-sized duck or 100 duck-sized Fernandos? I mean, Fernando's got a lot of fire in him. He's a very competitive guy and obviously, you know, proven with his success. So I reckon one Fernando-sized duck, because I don't think I'm going to beat 100 duck-sized Fernandos. So we'll go with that. All right, from Harkax, with people comparing you to the likes of Charles Leclerc and George Russell, given your rapid rise through the lower categories, does the hype around you motivate you, or do you feel there is more pressure on you to perform? I don't really think it puts any more pressure on me. I mean, for this year, it definitely doesn't, because I'm not actually racing. But, you know, putting in the same league as them, I think it's only a benefit. And, you know, obviously, George and Charles are both fantastic drivers, with Ferrari and Mercedes, respectively, two of the most competitive teams on the grid. So to be in the same company as them, I think only bodes well for me. So I don't really think it adds any more pressure. I think if anything, it's a good thing. From Every Man Ever, what does a reserve driver do over the course of a race weekend? So on Thursday, do the track walk with the drivers or driver, depending on who's actually doing a track walk. Sit in on all the engineering briefings. Do some media stuff if I'm needed, some interviews, some whatever, host some shows, which I've done. But yeah, of course, for me anyway, because it's, you know, I haven't been in F1 before and trying to learn the ropes. So anything I can do to try and benefit my driving when hopefully in the future it comes, the better. So standing into these engineering briefings and stuff like that and learning how firstly the race drivers give their feedback, how they go about it, and also what the car's doing in case I need to jump in. Is very important. So that's kind of the gist. And then watch the sessions from the garage. And that's about it. From Edo14, do you know where you'll be racing next year? No, I don't. Hopefully on the F1 grid, but I don't know anything yet. What was it like balancing school and racing? And how was the shift from Australia to Europe without your family? I think balancing school and racing was tricky, but rewarding, I think. I think finishing school for me was a pretty proud moment, and also gave me a good distraction away from racing. So I think for me, staying in school was really beneficial and obviously very important in life in general. And the shift from Australia to Europe, so I moved over with my dad for the first 6 months, and then I went to boarding school. So I think going to boarding school really helped with that, because it was basically like living with a whole bunch of friends. Which made the transition easier. But yeah, definitely whenever I could get back to Australia, I tried to. And that made things easier. But yeah, obviously now I'm getting older. I'm an adult now. I'm 21 as of tomorrow from when this is filmed. So I'm a big boy now. And I like to think I probably would have moved out of home anyway. So there you go. From LCK, LCK, LCK. What's your most memorable racing story so far in your career? So most memorable story, there's been a few throughout the years, definitely. I think the most recent one's probably in F2. before my first feature race win in Monza, we accidentally put, well, I say we, my trainer, accidentally put sparkling water in my drinks kit. So driving to the pit lane, yeah, it wasn't the most, I don't like sparkling water, first of all, and when it's 30-something degrees in the car and the water's hot, sparkling water's not the most refreshing. So that was that. We managed to change it before the race, which was good. And then another not so funny story at the time, but in my final race of F2, so the final feature race, was starting on pole, and we do some laps through the pit lane before the race to check the car's okay and then drive to the grid. And on those laps of the pit lane, somebody pulled out of their pit box and crashed into me in the pit lane. So we had to do a front wing change on the grid and check the car was okay. So that was pretty stressful for the last F2 race, but nevertheless, it turned out all right. I won, so it was all fine. From NatorTater317, if you could add any circuit to the F1 calendar, what would it be and why? Tricky one, because to be honest, most of the tracks I've driven are on the F1 calendar. Hockenheim is a good one. Obviously, it's been on the F1 calendar before, and in junior racing, it always was really fun to race around there, produce really good racing. I mean, as a joker, Bathurst would be pretty awesome to see an F1 race around Bathurst. But yeah, in terms of more realistic tracks, Hockenheim was a really good one. I think it produced really good racing, and bit of a shame it's not still on the grid, to be honest, on the calendar. From Pupella, how is F3 different from F2? You've driven for Prema in both series. Was there anything different in how they operated in F2 compared to F3? So F3 to F2, there's not a huge difference, I would say. In terms of lap time, it's about 4 or 5 seconds different. There's quite a few differences in the car, though, so some specific things for F2. It's 100 kilos heavier, so you can definitely feel that weight difference. It's also got about 250 horsepower more and a turbo, so the power's not linear either, so there's a bit of turbo lag, so it's difficult to deal with that. Also, carbon brakes, basically you need to, they're really temperature sensitive and you need to keep them in the right window, otherwise they don't really work very well. So that's quite a big difference from F3 to F2, I would say the biggest. And differences between Prema F3 and F2, I mean, it's all pretty similar. The technical director, Guillaume, is across F3 and F2, so, sort of the mentality and the way you go about things is very similar, and obviously they're very successful in both series, so there's not really any reason to change. Obviously the staff are different, the engineers aren't the same from F3 to F2, but yeah, obviously the way of working is quite similar and very successful. From HPL Haast, which past era of F1 cars would you most want to drive? I think sort of the mid-2000s, the V10s. The cars were really light back then, obviously screaming V10s, a lot of testing, engines that only had to last a race or two, so they had a lot of power. I mean, not that today's cars don't have any power, but you know, you could kind of throw them away at the end of every weekend back then. And I mean, they look cool, they sound cool, and they were super light and nimble. So I reckon mid-2000s, if I was going to say any, probably like 2005, 2006 Renault would be probably the one. From Nichata, I'm going to say, sorry if I got that wrong. What's something you could give a 30-minute presentation about without any preparation? A lot of topics on racing, to be honest. I reckon I could give a 30-minute presentation without having to prepare. Depends a little bit on the topics. If it's anything to do with the mechanical side of the car or what does what in the engine or whatever, okay, forget about it. It's going to last about 30 seconds, not 30 minutes. But in terms of racing-specific stuff, I reckon I could do that. So there we go. From Arcade, what do you do if you have to sneeze during a race? This ironically isn't the first time I've been asked this. My maths teacher had he asked me this multiple times when I was at school. So firstly, I've never had to sneeze during a race. I think the adrenaline sorts that one out for you, and you've got a lot of airflow coming through your nose, so you don't really have to worry about that. I have sneezed on the grid, I think, though, or just sat in the car, and trying to not get it all over the visor is a bit of a challenge, but yeah, I mean, you can't stop the sneeze, or you hold your nose or whatever, but yeah, there's not really any way around avoiding a sneeze. From Logic LBM, who do you think is going to win F2 this year? Well, we've had two rounds as of filming this. I think Liam Lawson's looked very strong so far. Obviously, I know he was quick last year as well. I think Porsche as well, obviously didn't have a very good round in Saudi, but won the first feature race, and you know, I think he was very quick last year. I think the key for pretty much the whole grid is going to be consistency. Obviously, it's a really long championship this year. It's 14 rounds this year. So yeah, I think those two guys, Liam and Teo, both very strong from last year. Also Felipe back with MP, third year in F2. You know, I think he'll be strong as well. I think both the Premers obviously haven't had the best start to the year, but I think, you know, they'll be strong. I think Jahan as well in his third year. Obviously Dennis needs a bit of learning to do as a rookie, but I'm sure he'll get on top of it, and I think that about covers it, really. We'll see. F2 is so unpredictable, so it's hard to tell, but I think those are sort of the front-running guys I see at the moment. Cheers for your questions, guys. I enjoyed it. A lot of curveballs in there, so some tricky ones, but yeah, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy the weekend at Albert Park, and hopefully see you there. Have a good one. Cheers.